On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up, theater critic J. Wynn Russick joins me to weigh in on the touring production of Wicked at the Hippodrome Theater. But first, tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of the woman many consider the greatest jazz singer of all time, Lady Day, Billie Holiday.
I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to feel.
Like Billie Holiday, the poet Carol Boston Weatherford was raised in Baltimore. She now teaches at Fayetteville State University in North Carolina. The author of more than 40 books, she has won numerous awards for her books for children and young readers about important people and events in African American history. Her latest is a collection of poems that tell the story of Billie Holiday's childhood and early career. It's called Becoming Billie Holiday, and Carol Weatherford joins us on the line from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Carol, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Tom. Glad to be back.
So, Carol, why does Billie Holiday resonate with you so much as a poet, and Billie Holiday being, you know, a great jazz vocalist?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that she was raised in Baltimore, like myself, and also the fact that my father, who was a jazz fan, introduced me to her music, not only just by playing it in the background when I was a child, but by taking me to see the biopic Lady Sings the Blues when I was 16 years old. So once I saw that film, I began listening to Billie Holiday on my own and buying her music. And after a while, years later, I realized that she was my muse. And I truly believe she asked me to write the book. I almost didn't write it had it not been for a visit to the Great Blacks and Wax Museum, where I saw a teenager walk up to the exhibition and say, "Ooh, Billie Holiday." When I realized that the teenager was familiar with Billie Holiday, I thought the book might have a chance. So I decided to take the project on.
So the story begins with Sadie Fagan and Clarence Holiday, and the woman who would become Billie Holiday is named Eleonora Fagan. She's born in Philadelphia instead of Baltimore. Why is that?
She was born in Philadelphia because her mother was an unwed mother. She was also a live-in maid. She got pregnant in Baltimore and then went to work for a family in Philadelphia rather than to shame her family by giving birth to this child out of wedlock. So Billie was born Eleonora Fagan in Philadelphia.
She also, you chronicle through each of these poems and these beautiful illustrations, paintings by Floyd Cooper, a very difficult childhood, really from the right from the get-go. She had all sorts of interactions with some nuns, the Sisters of the Good Shepherd, which was kind of a reform school or something that they ran.
Correct.
What was that experience like for her as a young child?
Well, Eleonora, who would become Billie Holiday, was a neglected child. She moved around from place to place with her mother, as her mother had different live-in maid jobs. Sometimes her mother took jobs out of town and left Billie with relatives, neighbors, or family friends. So Billie lived a lot of places. She wound up in reform school because she was cutting school or skipping school. So a truant officer picked her up, and the court found her mother to be neglectful and put Billie in reform school. She actually served two, I don't know if you would call them sentences, in reform school. The second time around, she was sent to reform school because her mother and her mother's boyfriend had gone out on Christmas Eve and left Billie with a male neighbor, and the neighbor raped her. Her mother and the boyfriend came back home and caught this man in the act, called the police, and again, the court found Billie to be lacking parental supervision and sent her to reform school for the second time.
One of the poems you write about that kind of that time of her life, that period of her life, is called "Having Myself a Time." It's on page 27. Wonder if you could read us that one.
Sure. Having myself a time. Truth be told, no one raised me. I just ran wild. The folks mom had looking after me while she was gone would get me off to school like clockwork, but they never knew if I went. Most days I didn't. running the streets was more my speed. When it came to playing hooky, I was a quick study.
Them that's got shall have, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Carol Weatherford reading one of the poems from her book, Becoming Billie Holiday, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. She and her mother stayed certainly in touch and relatively close throughout their life. At one point, they both ended up working in a brothel in Harlem. What about her relationship with her father, Clarence Holiday?
More than anything else, I think young Eleonora wanted her parents together. Her parents never married, never lived under the same roof. So that would be, you know, a dream that would remain unfulfilled. Billy's father was an absent father. And when Billy arrived in New York, her mother had fallen ill and they needed money. They were poor and they needed money. And Billy went to a club where her father was performing to ask him for money. But he didn't want her to act like she was his daughter because he didn't want the women whom he was dating, the other women in the women of the night, to know that he had a grown daughter. Because Billy was buxom and, you know, developed as a teenager. So she had to act like she wasn't his child. So it was a sad relationship, really, kind of empty, I think, for her.
But, of course, she always knew she wanted to sing. Singing was something that she started doing as a very young child, and her first work as a singer came when she was still in her teens. It's really quite remarkable to think what she went through as a little girl and, you know, at a very young age, found herself, you know, in this club scene in Harlem.
And before that, in the club scene in Baltimore, she performed in an amateur hour show or amateur talent, you know, talent show at the Harlem Theater before she even left Baltimore. And she was, you know, barely like 12 years old when she left Baltimore. So she was singing at a very early age. You're right.
And she is completely self-taught. You wrote a great poem on page 62 called You Gotta Show Me. And it talks about how she picked up the art of jazz.
You gotta show me. After hours, jam sessions were a crash course in jazz. Every chance I got, I sat beside piano players, studying their fingers, striding the keyboard, striking sharps and flats and major and minor chords, trilling syncopated melodies. I trailed their fingers for octaves as they charmed the secrets of swing. Piano masters offered up music's mysteries. I put myself in their hands.
One of her first breaks came when the very famous producer and critic John Hammond discovered her and introduced her to people like Benny Goodman. Her first recording was a 78 RPM record with Benny Goodman called Riffin' the Scotch. Tell us how that record came to be about.
John Hammond was at a club that was owned by a woman whom Billy knew. A woman had opened a club. And Billy, the woman was a singer herself, but she was running the club and couldn't sing every night. So she had Billy singing, and John Hammond was there and, of course, heard her sing. And the rest, as they say, is history.
I jumped out of the frying pan and right into the fire. But I lost me a cheating man and got a no-count liar. Swipe the old one for the new one. Now the new one's breaking my heart. I jumped out of the frying pan right into the fire. Lord, right into the fire.
John Hammond connected her with Benny Goodman. And I think at the recording session, Ethel Waters was in the studio and commented that Billy sang like she had on shoes that were two sizes too small, because Billy had such a tiny voice. a voice that probably never would have reached any of our ears had it not been for the invention of the microphone at the time that she was starting her career.
And of course, you finish the book when she's about 25 years old, and one of the last poems in the book is called Coda, Strange Fruit. And of course, Strange Fruit is the song from which an excerpt is put on the statue, the base of the statue that stands on Pennsylvania Avenue right across from the site of the Royal Theater where Billie Holiday performed. How did the composition of Strange Fruit come to be?
Well, the composer, Abe Meerpole, whose pen name was Lewis Allen, was a school teacher who had written this protest hymn, anti-lynching hymn, called Strange Fruit. And he came to Cafe Society, the club where Billy was headlining, to play it for Billy and the club's manager. And it was decided that Billy would do a recording not on her normal, on her the label which had her under contract, but on a different label of this song. The premise of the book itself is that Strange Fruit has just come out, and Billy has read a review of it in Time magazine, in which the critic not only said that she was fat and didn't care to diet and didn't care about how she looked, but also said that she probably didn't even understand the words to the song that she had recorded. So the book is kind of her retort. It's her imagining what she would say to that critic if he had bothered to interview her.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree.
It's a really, really poignant and beautifully conceived book. So thank you so much, Carol Weatherford, for telling us about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Carol Weatherford, her new book is called Becoming Billie Holiday. The art is by Floyd Cooper. It's published by Word Song Books. For a link to more information, come to WIPR.org/Marilyn Morning. It's Marilyn Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Lots more ahead. Stay with us.
Scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of of fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rise.